Well, you know, churches, over time, we talk about revival, we talk about awakenings, we talk about special meetings, we talk about the glory of the Lord, and I love revival. In the 90s, there were fires of revival that lit up all over America. 1906, there was the awakening, the Azusa Street Revival Awakening, an outpouring. There was an awakening in Wales, but here's the one I'm talking about. Here's the one that I know is going to happen in these last hours. It will be a transformation. And you've heard me use that word before. Because a transformation changes an entire nation. Now, when Wales woke up to a transformation, it changed the entire nation of Wales. And then it came into America, came with people across the water, and that's what happened at Azusa Street. But it was an awakening to the Christians. Christians were about half dead, half asleep, and it woke them. It was an awakening. But we're looking, how many would say we need a transformation in America? Yes, we do. Now, there were some that have happened over time. The one in the upper room, that was a transformation. We call it outpouring of revival, but that was transformation. It changed the world, and it changed not just decades, but centuries and millenniums. We're a part of that. But we've, as the old Chinese man said, we have kuliafig. Kulia. And so we don't want to be there. We don't want to be a cool church. We want to be awakened in the spirit, but we know that our nation and the world needs a transformation, but it is coming. So I call this message today, transformation is coming. Now, years ago, it was probably 1998, I showed you a video and I looked all over for it. All I found was a documentary that I had on an old, what do you call it, a video? VHS, and it was a documentary, so I couldn't find what I was looking for, but I found a piece of it. There was a transformation that happened in Guatemala in 1995, the same time that the awakening broke out in Brownsville Revival in Florida. So I showed you that video. Many of you were not here to see it then. Some of you may have seen it, but I'm just going to show you a little clip, listen, of what happens when a transformation comes to a nation. It touches everything. So that video and what happened in Guatemala, I always wanted to go over there. I never got to go, but it was an amazing, amazing transformation for that entire nation there in Central America. But it encouraged people. And I just wanted to encourage us today because let me just say this, and don't let it surprise you because it's still true. We are so blessed, church, to live here in California. I mean, we are blessed to live in this most awesome state. We have the most beautiful beaches. We have beautiful oceans and streams, and we've got major cities and all different kinds of cultures. We are called a melting pot of the world. Everybody, we look at all the diverse cultures and races that we have in here this morning, just a small group. Look at the people who live on your street. We live peacefully, for the most part, together. And, oh my goodness, in the wintertime when the snow falls on the mountains, here you and I live in this little beautiful valley, and we look up and we see those mountains are just majestic when the snow is on them. And people talk about the beautiful foliage on the East Coast and all the beautiful autumn leaves. You know, I want to go to Washington and see the cherry blossoms. And we want to go here and see the Midwest and see all the brown. And I've seen it there in Missouri. Look over a cliff at the beautiful trees. And they're brown and red and yellow. And it's the most beautiful sight. But when I come to church early spring, every time I drive down Westwood, both sides of the street are lined with lavender pink and white trees. The blooms are the most beautiful. White, pink, white, pink, and lavender. And I'll tell you next time, I'm sure I mention it every season, but you just got to go see it. We've got the big trees, as people from, when they come from the south, they call them the big trees of the sequoias, the biggest trees in the world. Oh my goodness. We've got the deserts. Many of you like to take your tank, you like to take your four-wheelers out to the deserts. And one time, Sarah and I went with youth pastors from Glad Tidings, and I had never been back in the dunes there at Pismo Beach. And you go down toward Oceano and those dunes, you guys, I'm just telling you, if you've never seen them, they are so huge. It's almost like the Sahara Desert. I mean, it just looks like it goes for miles, these dunes and mountains of beautiful white sand. It's just the most amazing sight. And then you and I drive to Bakersfield during the days that all the hills are golden. I told the kids the other day, no wonder we're called the Golden Empire. The hills are just golden and beautiful. And then in the springtime, they're green and they're spotted with the black cows. The Black Angus cattle all over. And I love, that's my favorite time. And then look at this. I remember one time Ed Rockholt put Wayne Neal in his car from Missouri. And he said, Brother Wayne, get in my car. I want to go show you something. Now, I may not have the correct memory right now, and I don't know if I'll even mention it, but they drove from the church here out to Poplar. I'm afraid that if I said 40 crops, it may be wrong, but it was way out there. There were nuts and fruits and walnuts and all kinds of trees, fruit trees. And Wayne just came back shaking his head and praising God, saying, I have never seen anything like that. This valley must be so fertile. But let me show you something. You know, we've been called the breadbasket of the world. We have, you know, we're known for our cattle. And we're one of the largest, probably the capital, of the dairy farms and dairies in the entire world. We are called the breadbasket in America. California, not just all over, but California and Tulare County is huge in all of them. You want to see a picture of California in the Word? Let me show you. Let's go over there. Just go on back to, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Put up verses 7 and 8, and I'll just read until I want to stop. All right, Tiff. Our land looks just like this. And this was God telling Moses, you're going into the promised land. And Joshua's going to take the people in. But here's what it looked like. And you might see a picture of California, and yet so many people are leaving California. And I want to stand up and scream, not yet, don't go. The best is yet to come. There will be a transformation of our state. Somebody say amen. Do you believe it? Maybe it's hard for you to believe, but it won't be. I don't think by the time I give you this word. Look at 8:7-8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and of springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. We're huge in minerals here. And look at this in verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Now, he was talking to the people of Israel, but I'm talking to you about California this morning. Now look at verse 11. Now beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. Verse 12. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelled in them. In other words, just don't forget. You can read the rest when you go home, okay? Just take that. Don't read it now. But I just want to say we have been so blessed. Not to mention the gold rush that came a few decades ago. There was so much gold, and there probably still is, in this land that we call our own, California. I want to give you this Latin word, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right for California, but the Latin means this, Calida Fornox, F-O-R-N-O-X, and it means a hot furnace. Somebody say amen. It means a hot furnace. And California probably has more forest fires and fires. We're very dry than any other state. I don't know. But we have a lot of fires. And the Bible talks of the refining fires. And fires always represent trials. So I would say that California may have the right name. Amen? It's been full of trials and full of challenges for us. And Malachi 3:2 says, just like gold, it goes through intense heat to purify and to cleanse the gold of all impurities. Now, we've been through a lot. We just saw last year, I don't know, a year or two ago, remember when we saw the Palisades burning? The wealthiest, one of the wealthiest communities in California. And it burnt that one community. I mean, just burnt it, destroyed it to the ground. You couldn't recognize. Both the poor and the rich, everything was flattened out by the fire. There's wildfires that have burnt down our forest. And my husband used to tell me when we lived on the ranch, there were those golden hills all around us, and sometimes one of them would catch on fire. One night we heard fire trucks just screaming, running up the hill. We got up and looked out, and the Black Mountain behind us was burning. And there was a ring of fire all the way around it, one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. And that ring of fire just burnt all the way down Black Mountain, and we watched it burn. And I said, that is so sad. That's going to take the cattle's feed and that poor rancher. And he said, oh, that rancher may be, you may say poor rancher right now, but he said, give that about, I'm not sure, 2 or 3 years growth. And when that grows back, it'll have new growth. And he says, it will be so restored for those cattle. He said, it'll be like eating Wheaties to them. They will love it. So with these fires, there is new growth, but the fires of California have destroyed many forests. We'll never know how many animals burn up in that. And destroyed communities. Remember, is it called Paris? That little paradise up north burnt that whole town, I think. And we've had heat waves that were so miserable. Thank God we're having a wonderful summer right now. There's been heat waves and earthquakes and the major ones in San Francisco. In 1906, there was a major earthquake that caused collapse, and that same week there was an earthquake in the spirit that hit, that's when Azusa Street broke out in revival, right after that earthquake, and they said God was shaking his earth both physically and spiritually. So we've also, I've already mentioned, we had great revivals, great awakenings, and there's great wealth in this area. So our land does look like the promised land, and yet people are leaving here every day. My sister and brother-in-law pastor in Bakersfield, and I can't tell you how many families they have lost that have ran away from California to Missouri, Texas, and those southern states. At one time, there was an exodus. They came here to pick oranges and cotton and what have you. They left the Dust Bowl. My father was a part of that. They left the Dust Bowl and came out here because there was work here. And now we've got all this work, but people are running back. And why, church, why are they running back? because of our corrupt leaders. We have all of this fertile land, all of this beautiful. The kids are going to the beach today, and they'll see the beautiful oceans and the waters and the sands, and it's so pretty. And yet people are leaving. Why? They don't trust our leaders. It's corrupt. If I had Sheriff Mike come up here right now, he could tell you how it is in Sacramento, in Washington, more than any of us. But I'm telling you, right now, you and I see it every day on the news. We've got leaders that are protecting the criminals and not the victims. Did you ever think for one moment in your lifetime that we would see them wanting to defund the police and protect the shooter, protect the killer, protect the thief? Let them steal $900 worth of stuff. It'll be all right. I think there's a new sheriff in town that's going to settle all that mess down. In fact, it's already started. All this woke mess is settling down. Now, it's going to take a while, but it's crazy. And I don't know how anyone in their right mind that serves God could agree with that, to protect that criminal and come down on the little on the victim. I mean, that girl you saw being beat up by people the other day, beat up, brain injuries, and they were protecting the criminals, not that poor girl that just about lost her sight and everything with her. Now, we saw in that little video in Guatemala, you heard how he said the you could walk down the street, you couldn't walk one block without seeing somebody laid out on the sidewalk drunk. In San Francisco, one of our great major huge cities that was so beautiful, they were even when it's going to sound political, let it, because it's just the truth, but when Joe Biden was in, they put vending machines on the street so these drug addicts could get a fresh needle, so they could have a clean needle. Who in their right mind would think that way? When somebody is so addicted to set up places where they could get their drugs. It's just the craziest thing. There's homelessness, just like that with third world country. There's people laying on the streets. The other day we went to eat at the Hobby Sushi. And we stepped across two homeless people on a sidewalk, didn't step across them, but walked beside them, and the stench was so terrible. They'd urinated on that sidewalk right there. It smelled so horrible. We see the same thing. Not so much in Porterville as you do other places, but the homelessness fills our streets. There's poverty. There's drugs. There's shootings. There's murders, crime, human trafficking that they're getting a grip on or trying to anyway. And the transgender thing is going crazy. They're mutilating our children in the name of helping them without their parents knowing anything about it. Schools taking little girls for abortions without telling the parents. Can you imagine that, church? In such a beautiful, promised land that we live in, they could have everything that you and I have. They could have everything that this little state of ours offers. They could have it. You say the land of milk and honey. Oh yeah, milk. We've got the dairies. Honey. Oh yeah. Drive out toward Bakersfield and you'll see the beehives just stacked up all over producing honey for us. Amen. So let me say this. These people making these, I don't even have a word for it, I'll say insane decisions. These people, the Bible says, now, if you want to go that way, you can. You know, God's not got us on a little puppet string and makes us do what he wants. So we can do what we want to do. So he says, now, if you want to do those things that are evil and bad, you go right ahead, and I will turn you over to it. I'll turn you over that and those idols that you worship. He said, you'll become just like them. You won't be able, idols don't see. This man talked about idolatry in another one of those little videos. They had a man who looked like a, I don't know what you'd call the kingpin of a drug cartel. He was stuffed, and he was sitting up in a chair, and he had a black mask on and black glasses and a little hat and a scarf around his neck. And they prayed to him, and they went to him, and they said the spirits would be so black and so dark in that room, it would just take over, and horrible things would happen to the people. But America's began to see these same idols set up, and God said, if you want to, I will turn you right over to those idols, and you'll become just like them. You won't be able to see with your eyes. You won't hear with your ears. You won't be able to make good choices. He said, I'll turn you over to Romans chapter 1. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, which means a debased mind. It means that you can no longer make good decisions. So when you're in a state of mind that you've gone out there and done your own thing, whatever pleases you, then if you're turned over to a reprobate mind, your decisions are really bad. Just better get back over to Jesus, because that's not going to work for you. Like the fires in California, it could destroy you. Destroy your family, destroy your marriage, destroy your home, destroy your mind. Destroy who God planned for you to be and your purpose. Oh my goodness. All right, so I do want you to see this. Go over to, I don't want to go to chapter 9. Let's go back to Numbers. Oh, I do want to read this, Tiff. Let me get this up here. Deuteronomy 9:6. God says, now look, I have blessed you. I've blessed you. He says, now don't forget, it is me that gives you the power to get wealth. I have blessed you. I'm the one that gave you your home and your car and your blessings and your children and your wife and your husband, your friends, your church. I have surely blessed you. Your bank account. But look at Deuteronomy 9:6. God just checks with his people there and says, the only reason... I want you to know why I brought you into this promised land flowing with milk and honey when you had nothing. I want you to see this, Deuteronomy 9:6, before we go on. Therefore, he says, my sweet people, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. For you are a stiff-necked people. He said, you don't deserve this. Why was he doing it? Because he loved them. America's a blessed people, and California is even more blessed. And he said, but it's not because of anything you did. It's because of who I am. And I want you to partake of everything that I have set up to give you and I've put in your life. You don't need to run to somebody else. You don't need to run over there. You don't need to run here and there trying to find your peace. God said, you've got your land. You've got your home. You've got your family. You've got your bank account. Oh, it's not enough. Oh, go back to him. See what he does. Amen. All right. So we've got, though, with all of this, he said, you guys are going in. I'm going to give you all this. But then he warned them. I'm going to tell you right now. Hi, Valerie. Good to see you, honey. He says, I'm going to tell you right now, there are giants in the land. And I'm not going to take them out for you. You have to take them out. And I always hated that part. I never liked that part, Brother Sergio. That was just too tough. All right? But let's roll back to the book of Numbers. And let me verify this by the word. Numbers chapter 33. We'll start in verse 50. Numbers 33 and verse 50. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying this, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then, look at this, read this carefully, look, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molten images, demolish all their high places, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. You dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Not the giants. I gave this land to you. I didn't give you the addiction. I didn't give you the mess. I gave you the land to possess it, not the giants. Verse 55. But if you do not, say it with me, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sight. And look at this, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Just right there in your land. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. We deal with giants every single day, not only in California, but in our own home. And California is full of giants. It's lush, it's beautiful land, the blessing is here, the guy who owned the ranch that we leased, he's traveled all over the world, and he would say to Rick, my husband, he would say, you know what, Rick, he says, I've traveled the world. And he says, California has everything that the entire world has. All in one state. It's all right here in California. And yet, there are giants in the land. Now, you don't have to fool with the giants. You just keep plugging. When you're in Jesus, you'll have your highs and you'll have your lows, but you can come to an even keel. You don't have to crash and burn. You don't have to jump up here and fly high. Woo-hoo! You have people come in flying up here on cloud nine. The next week you see them, they're crashed. I pray that every one of us will come where we know there's downers, we know there's lows, we know there's highs, but we're just the same all the time. And you know how we do that? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Okay, I'm not preaching that. But we do have giants in our land. But these giants have crept in. They creep into the home. They creep into your life. They creep into your mind. They creep into marriage. And you know what? We talk to our little ones about screen time. We showed a video in here one time. A preacher was talking about how many hours he spent on the screen and how it almost wrecked his marriage, his life, his relationship with the kids, and tore his life up. But you know what? When you read this kind of scripture, Tiff, would it be possible for you to pull up the scripture on the old King James, just KJV? See if you can pull that up, KJV. I want to show you something here. Because when we read this like this, listen, this is talking about screen time. Not on the computer, but up here. See, we've got images. We've got pictures hanging on the walls of our minds. And you've heard the saying where they say, I can't unsee that. Well, you can't, but I believe that God can help you with those memories, whether they're good or they're bad. Sometimes good memories can hurt you as badly as bad memories. You say, how's that happen? Well, that's another story for another day. You got it, Tiff? Can we do the KJV? It's all right. If not, just go back to 55. He said, listen, if you don't drive these things out, the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those that you let remain... You got saved, you gave your heart to Jesus, and then you got rid of most of the giants, the addictions, you got rid of most of it, but you let one thing stay. You let it stay. And he says, if you let it stay, it'll take over. Get the giant out. How are we doing? All right, look at this. This is what I wanted you to see, I think. Verse 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. and they shall, look at this, vex you in the land where you dwell, in your home, in your life, on your job. They'll just vex you. What's that word mean? We read it in the New King James, harass. It will harass you. If you're being harassed by your mind or by your spirit, look, let me say this, and I'll close. But your spirit's okay. If you love Jesus, your spirit, unless it's just had an invading power from these giants, your spirit should be all right. But if you have allowed your flesh to call the shots over and over and over in your life, then you're just going to be harassed and vexed. He said it'll just be like you've got a thorn in your side. And what was that other word? It would be like you have a thorn in your side. And look at that, pricks in your eyes, little stickers in your eyes. Something's always, always messing with you. And I just wanted to remind you today, just like we live in this great state, and yes, all of these things is vexing California. It's vexing it. It's harassing it. If they don't get this, they want that. If they want that, they want to do this. They want to defund police. They want to take care of the criminals. They don't want to, you know, they don't want, and then they do want. They don't even know what they're doing. But it's vexing them. They've got pricks in their eyes. They can't see right. They're not making right decisions. So, church, it's time we pray for our state. I mean, the others can pray for their state. You say, I don't know what my prayer, what would that matter? Oh, your prayer is so important. Every morning I pray for my state when I'm praying. It's mine, and I love California, and I'm not going anywhere. I don't plan to. But I'm just saying, if it's happening in the state, we certainly can't let giants come into our homes and in our lives. Be careful what comes through your TV. Let me ask you this one more time, please. And you could eat the meat, throw away the bone. Don't pay one bit of attention to this. Can I suggest to you one more time that about 7 o'clock at night, look, by that time, if you're a news watcher, you may have already watched Jesse. You may have already watched Martha. You may have already watched Laura. I don't know, but they've all said the same thing. After a while, they're all, you heard it morning, they're all saying the same thing. But about 7 o'clock, turn them off and turn it on to TBN. Well, I can't stand that Matt Lori Crouch. You haven't watched them. I can just tell you right now, you have not watched them in the past 2 years. The other night, I watched Greg Laurie, who is a mighty man of God. I was never his fan, but lately I've been listening to him, and God is using him. He could be the next Billy Graham, if there is such a thing. Thousands of people being saved and baptized. That is a revival. That's not a transformation, because that's touching a group of people. But it could be used to change our land or bring a transformation. Now, right now, he is sharing with Matt and Lori Crouch testimonies. He interviewed Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper was just a filthy heathen. Well, he gave his heart to the Lord, totally changed. And I wouldn't take anything for seeing that testimony. It moved my heart. I thought, my goodness, that's a huge miracle. Kiss, the guy with the long tongue, interviewed him. Another miracle. They are interviewing people. Max Lucado just wrote a new book about toxic thoughts that come to your mind. And they interviewed him and let him teach how to get those out. He said, toxic thoughts are like UFOs. They just come. They're strange thoughts. He says, why do you let them invade your mind? Look, these things help us. Every evening at 7 o'clock, you've got something available that would help you. There's so much good Christian TV, but I won't suggest all of it, and sometimes you may not like that, but for the most part, they're sharing books from some great people and some testimonies. So anything that you can help you get a grip on the harassment of your mind, the harassment of your spirit, the thorns in your side, the pricks in your eyes, the harassment, the vexing. Hallelujah. Take these words I give you. Read it again. Read these scriptures again. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? But I just wanted to say, don't let these giants drive you out of what God has given you. Don't let these giants drive you out. You drive the giants out. Because these giants want to drive you. I've done mention it. They want to drive you out of your home. Listen, these giants, think on this, church. They have driven people out of this state. They've driven people out of this state. They've driven people out of their marriage. They've driven people out of their homes. They've driven young people away from their mom and dad. Why? Because they're giants, and mom and dad don't pray enough to take them down. Come on. You know, why are these guys running? Why don't they stand and fight for their state in the name of Jesus? It's not that hard. Just pray. Hallelujah. Well, wonderful Jesus. I did the best I could with what you gave me. And so, Lord, this word only speaks for itself. It doesn't need a lot of help. But thank you for what you did for those precious people in Guatemala. Now, Lord, we already have that part where their agriculture was touched by your hand. We already have that. Now, we don't need carrots as big as your arm because we've got great produce. Oh, Lord, we have great vegetables, great grapes. Oh, Lord, our fruit right now is so awesome. Cantaloupe and watermelon, you name it, we have it. All we've got to do is go to the grocery store, walk right down through it, and get all we want. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes we have friends that may work in the fields, and they'll bring us a crate of grapes, crates of some of these great things that they pick and they choose and they bring. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've given us and this great abundant land, yes, prosperity and blessing on our state. But, Lord, we do have giants. And, Lord, our leaders are not helping, though they are helping the giants. They are working right alongside the giants to kill your people, destroy this land, destroy its finances. And they try to do the same thing to your people and their children and their children's children. Now, Lord, protect us. Lord, take these pictures down off the walls. The bad images, the things that maybe somebody did in their past, and they say, I just can't forget it. I see that picture. Lord, help them to take that video out. Would you destroy that video? Would you take that picture out? You said, Quite pluck down those images and those high places. Oh, man and woman of God, take those pictures off the wall. Take them off. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, come here. Would you come with me? Let's just come down here and strip the walls of our mind. Would you come? Come on. Hallelujah. Just come and let's just quite pluck them down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just find ourselves to pray. A place of prayer for a few minutes. And let the glory of the Lord come in. You guys can sing that. That's a perfect song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Woo. Help us to quite pluck down. Pluck down these images, Lord. Come on, give them to Him. Say, Lord, I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. Every giant must fall. Every giant has to fall and crash and burn. We stand against you. Lord, these leaders that are standing with the giants, they're agreeing with the giants. Well, we don't agree with you, Mr. Newsom. We don't agree with you, Mr. Schiff. We don't agree with you, you evil leaders that stand against these evil things. But we stand with you, Father. Oh, yes. Lord, let our minds, our hearts, our churches be transformed. If you transform Guatemala's agriculture, you can transform, Lord, our churches. Transform our state. Transform, Lord, your people in Jesus' name. Look for my manifestation, says the Lord. Don't ignore me. I stand and knock. I stand and knock and wait for you to open to me. I desire to be with you. I desire to be your best friend. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your nearest of kin. There There is nobody like me. Look to me, says the Lord. I look to you day after day. I look at you. I water your gardens. I stand watch over you. And I rejoice and sing over you. And you have no idea at times. At other times, you feel it when I'm singing. When I have risen up, I get up. And your enemies sit down. They sit down because I rise up. And they're intimidated by me. But don't you be intimidated by them. You stand with me, says the Lord. For I stand with you. I am closer to you than you will ever know. Know in your mind and in your heart that I am with you, says the Lord. I will never, ever leave you. I am always with you. Expect miracles in your own body, your own mind, your own home, your marriage, your life, and your state and your nation, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I trust you. Just praise him, would you? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you take your Bible and go over those scriptures again this week? Read in the book of Numbers. Read in the book of Deuteronomy. And let it get into your spirit. Let it get into your soulish man. Let it get into your mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace throughout your land. Remove every prick, every thorn, and you will not be harassed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Walk in the blessings of the Lord.